Praise the Lord. Praise God. You can hear me okay, yeah? Shh. You know, I asked her to come up and sing that song for a reason. Because in that song it says, can anybody tell me what's wrong with living right? Today, people look at those who want to live a righteous life as freaks. Something strange. Something different, because we want to live a holy and righteous life. It goes against the grain of the world, and it goes against the grain of those who want to live in sinful nature. But we don't care. We don't care what people think of us. I don't care what people think of me. We don't care what they say. They can call us Hallelujah Brigade. They can call us every name under the sun. But we've got Jesus. We've got the Lord Jesus in our life. And we don't care what they say. But we stand up for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to pray with me, please. If you can. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, my Heavenly Father, the Lord, for this gathering tonight, my God. For all that you've done for us, my God, through your wonderful Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you will open every mind and heart to receive what I have to say. Guide me by your Spirit, Lord. Touch heart and souls here, my God. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm encouraged. I'm greatly encouraged. I'm excited. There's one part of me that is very excited, because when we get together and we see one another, and some you only see from one year to the other, it's good. It's good that we come together and we worship the Lord together, and our conventions are growing. Everything is growing, and God is on the move, and it's exciting, isn't it? And I'm encouraged in this. And I have great joy in my heart. You know, I sit down there sometimes and I call up the people to give a testimony, and the brothers and sisters come up and share a testimony, and I sit there and I think, I wish they could just ask me. Would I love to get up here and just tell them how much I love Jesus? Would I love to get up here and just say, Hallelujah, I'm born again. I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. I want to rejoice. I want to dance. I want to sing. Because I'm excited in the things of the Lord. I'm excited in the things of the Lord. There's another side to me. I've got a dual nature this evening. There's another side of me that's hurt. There's another side of me where I'm in sorrow in my heart. And there's something I want to share with us this evening. You know, tonight I'm not going to bring an easy pat on the back gospel. We've had enough of them. Come to Jesus and all is well. Come to Jesus and all is going to be good. I'm not going to preach that gospel tonight. I'm preaching an hard gospel. I'm preaching reality. But yet there's a part of me that is sad. There's a part of me that's hurt. And I want you to bear with me for 10 minutes. I'm just going to read something out of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Hearing the word of the Lord here, it speaks about our people are blinded from the gospel. Our people are blinded from the word of God. I want you to listen to me carefully, because I've prayed for many days about what I'm going to say here. I'm going to give a warning. I'm giving out a warning. I'm giving out a warning to those who continually come to missions and conventions and never give their life to Jesus. I want to give a warning to those who continually go to a church and sit at the back but have never made a commitment. I believe the Lord is speaking to me this evening in this area. I believe the Lord is giving me a warning. And it says in Romans 12:2, it says, Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, I want to talk about how the devil, how Satan is on the move, and how Satan is on the move amongst our people, and of all of mankind throughout the world, how the job of Satan now is to blind the people from seeing the truth. If we look around us and we look at this tent, this land, this ground and the people here, that is a miracle amongst itself. That is a miracle that you see before you. And so many times people come to a convention, stand at the back, they gossip, they deal, they go on, they do all manners of things. But the prince of this world, Satan, is pouring sin upon sin upon the lives of people. He's flooding them with sin. And I want to speak about that sin. And the sin is blinding them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard the saying, they become nose blind, but I'm telling you, our people are becoming gospel blinded. They become blinded to the word of God. They hear it over and over and over again. Oh yes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. And they can quote scripture, they can quote the Bible, but they're unsaved and they're lost. They're unsaved and they're lost. But there is a work of the enemy amongst all mankind which is catching up on our people. Our people once, years ago, used to be distant from the world. They would keep themselves to themselves. They would just keep themselves. But now they're marrying and they're merging into the world and the way the world is. And it's not good. It's contaminating. We see things that's happening amongst our children, amongst our people. And it's sad and it's heartbreaking because they're going the wrong way. They're going the wrong way faster on the wide road of destruction. And I want to let you know something, that there's a work of Satan amongst our people. They love looking at the Facebook. They love these phones and everything that comes on them. Let me tell you something, I call it the Bible, the devil's Bible. That's what I call it, because there's so much filth and degradation on it. There is so much uncleanliness on it. There are things that our people should never have been looking at. There's things that our children should never look at. And yet we call it normal. Like the song saying, why my granddaughter sang, what's wrong with living right? It's sad, it's heartbreaking. And I have a warning going to you, because tell you for why. Because soon and very soon the Lord is coming again. And all of mankind upon the earth shall be judged, each and every one. Our people are merging. There are things coming out on the television now where it's the norm to watch it and even let your children see it. There is filth, adultery, everything you can imagine, every degrading act is on the TV through the media, and Satan is using it and it's penetrating into the minds of our people. Our people love and it feeds the sinful nature. You got to realize how dangerous sin is. Sin is contaminating and it will get hold of our people and it will feed their sinful nature. Sin knows what the sinful nature loves, and it will feed your sinful nature, and gradually and slowly it will pull you down, and it will pull you down until in the end it's normal to watch filth on televisions. It's normal to listen to dirty jokes. It's normal to do the filthy things of this world. But I've got a message for our people today. Come out from amongst it. Come out from amongst the filth and the denigration and the horrible things of this world. Come out from amongst it. Be saved, be born again, and walk in a righteous life. Walk in that righteous life. It'll catch up on you like a thief in the night. There are things our children are watching that is despicable amongst our people. There are things that's happening now where even our grandparents and grandfathers would never talk about it, never even mention it. And it's the normal to have it on television. It's the normal to watch it. Like a pig that goes back to the mire. You'll be being contaminated by the things of this world. Don't be contaminated by the filth of the things of this world. Come out from amongst it. Walk away from it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You need Jesus in your life. You need the Lord Jesus to deliver you. You need Jesus to take you out from the dark. Those who walk in darkness must come to the light. Jesus is the light. Ephesians 4:18 says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from God. God is a holy God. God is a just God. Our Father in heaven cannot tolerate sin. He has no delight in sin. But your sins separate you from a holy God. There is no way to have part of God and live in sin. Your sin is separating you. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our people must shine the light in a dark world. There's too many of our people going astray. Too many. In Ezekiel 18:32, it says, for I have no pleasure in death of the one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. Turn and live. God, in his wonderful grace, by his grace, has provided a way out. The way to bridge the gap where no man can go. Who can go there? Who can make it to our Father in heaven? Your sin has separated you. But yet God loved you so much. He said, I want to bind the gap. I want you to be a part of me. I want you to come to me. He said, there's only one way and one way only. I'm going to send my only begotten Son. Those who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The wonderful grace of God. The wonderful grace of God. And there has to come a repentance. A repentance. The Bible says, by grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. Salvation has come to this place tonight by the grace of God. It's only by his wonderful grace we're here. It's only by his wonderful grace this tent's up. It's only by his wonderful grace that even the air that we breathe is by his grace. By his grace and his love and his compassion. Salvation is found in no other name. But yet, God commands now. He was ignorant in the ignorance in the past, but now he commands all men everywhere to come to repentance. You see, unless you likewise repent, you likewise will perish. The Lord wants you to repent. Ask for forgiveness. Your sin has separated you from your holy God. No way can you make it to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through me. There is no other name under heaven and earth by which one must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through him. How do we make it to heaven then? How can you get to heaven? You may say, but I'm bad, I'm too bad, I'm not good enough. None of us is good enough. We never ever will be good enough. You won't be good enough. I won't be good enough. None of us will ever be good enough. It's by his grace you've been saved through faith, not of your own. The Bible says it is the gift of God. It's by grace you've been saved. Otherwise we would be lost and cast into fires of hell forever. But it's by his wonderful saving grace that we can be saved. You know what the word repent means? Turn and go the other way. You may look and study your life right now under the sound of my voice and say, my life is going nowhere. I'm getting nowhere fast. Every day is the same. I keep falling deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'm getting deeper and deeper. Let me tell you something. Repentance is picking yourself up. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Understand what Jesus Christ has done for you. Realize that without Jesus Christ, you will have no life. Without Jesus, there is no heaven. Without Jesus, there is no heavenly future, but only the fires of hell. Repentance is turning. Turn from your sin. Turn from your ways. Follow Jesus and live a righteous life. Walk the other way. Walk the other mile. Serve Jesus. Serve him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. What must we do to be saved? They cried out. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. I'm asking you a question tonight. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross at Calvary? So we look to that repentance and you call upon the name of the Lord. And we look to where you stand in Christ. You know, the Bible says that a way that seems right by man at the end leads to death. Everyone thinks they're right. Everyone thinks they've got their own way, but there is only one way. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Your sin has separated you from a holy God, but Jesus Christ paid the price that you could be reunited to him by the power of the Holy Spirit through repentance, to understand and realize that it's your sin that now Jesus took the cross at Calvary. The Father gave him up in order to suffer for you and for me. And at the appointed time, they took our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They took him from the Garden of Gethsemane. And there they beat him, they punched him, and he was beaten and marred, the Bible says, more than any other man. He was unrecognizable. They put a cope over his head and punched him and said, prophesy. They was punching him, they was kicking him, they was beating, they was spitting on him. They was hurling insults out of him, for you and for me, while we was living a life of Riley. While we was living our own self, our own way, he was doing this for you and for me. And from there, they take him to a place of torture. They take our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They take him to a courtyard. There they strip him. And there they tie him to a post with his back stretched. A centurion, an expert in torture, starts to whip the back of Jesus. And it was like a plowed field. And there was blood and flesh. There was pain and agony. There was pieces of meat and flesh flying everywhere. And there was blood, covered in blood and more blood. And yet he opened not his mouth. There was no complaint from him. And when they had finished beating him and whipping him, they take him. They take him and make him carry a cruel cross to Calvary. And then when they take him to that place called the cruel cross at Calvary, there they nailed him upon a cross with those steel pins piercing through his flesh. They raise him up, and the Bible says that every joint in his body come discolorated. The very pain and punishment that you and me deserve, the very pain and punishment that all mankind deserves, he did it for you and for me. He did it, and it was pleasing to his Father in heaven, because he was the final sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice that remains on the face of this earth forever and ever. Jesus Christ paid the price. And he was hanging up there on the cross. And when Jesus was hanging up on that cross in agony and in pain with those steel pins through his flesh, you know, they was hurling insults out of him. They was jeering him. And all of a sudden there was a man on the side of him. And he was a thief. And he understood and he heard Jesus praying. And when he heard Jesus praying to his Father in heaven, he realized and he knew and he understood that this was the Savior of the world. And he cried out to Jesus. And he said, Lord, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, he said, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him in agony, in pain, disfigured face, blood everywhere, in total torture and thirst and agony and unable to breathe. And he looked at him in all the agony and pain. And this is the greatest love saying of all. Today, you will be with me in paradise. When we come to Jesus, when we cried out to the Lord, when we understood for the first time, it was me, because of me, because of me, he was nailed on the cruel cross at Calvary. When we cried out to the Lord, he said, today, you will be with me in paradise. He will not by no means turn anyone away. On the ninth hour, he breathes his last. Blood and water coming through the spear of the centurion from his side. And there they take the body down. They take it into a borrowed tomb, because the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And in a borrowed tomb, they take him. And in that tomb, they sealed the tomb and stood centurions there. But just like he prophesied, just like Jesus prophesied. When they came to anoint the body, the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive. He is risen. He's alive, he's risen, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for all those who love him, and all those that care for him, and all those that are apart from him. And he intercedes for them. He's now seated, and he's alive, and he's arisen. And because he's alive, we live. Because he has risen, we shall rise again, and we shall reign forever and ever in the kingdom of heaven. But I ask you a question. Where do you stand tonight? Are you saved? Are you born again? Has Satan so blinded you that you can't see that you need salvation? Has Satan so blinded your eyes that you can't understand how much Jesus loved you that he stretched out his arms on Calvary and he died for you that you may have life and have life eternal? There are two places to go on your eternal destiny. And the Bible speaks about heaven, it speaks about the fires of hell. Hell awaits the sinner. Hell awaits those whose eyes have been blinded by the devil. There is only two places, heaven and hell, your eternal destiny. The Bible says in Romans, there is no condemnation there for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for us who is alive in Christ Jesus. But for those who are not in Christ Jesus, hell awaits the sinner. But you can be saved tonight. The good news is, the Lord wants to meet with you tonight. The Lord wants you to give your life to him tonight. Jesus wants to give you life eternal. Jesus wants to be a part of your life. Are you going to allow the enemy to rob you again? Are you going to come into this tent again and go back out again the way you come and then come back in again maybe next year, God willing, and go back out again? Or will you make a stand for Jesus and say, that's it. I've been on the run long enough. I've tried my own way long enough. I've gone my own life by long enough. And now I realize that I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need to be born again. Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. You have to be born again. You need Jesus in your life. You know, we're going to ask the brothers to come up now. And I'm going to ask them to come up and share in music. And as they do, I'm going to ask you to search your hearts. You may, let me tell you something, under the sound of my voice, you may have been playing games with God. You may have been backslidden. The Lord knows where you stand with him tonight. Maybe you've only been playing games. Maybe you've been hiding something where your heart's gone cold and your heart's gone bitter and you need Jesus in your life. Maybe you've been backslidden, you're giving up. You may even have walked in this tent this evening and said, this is the last meeting that I'm ever going to come to. Don't allow Satan to rob you. Don't allow the devil to rob you of your wonderful, beautiful salvation. You come forward. You need Jesus in your life. You come now. You come now because there's nothing greater pleasure than to lead you to Christ this evening. Come and seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Tomorrow's not promised, for today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Our people's been robbed long enough. The devil's had a field day with you long enough. He's blinded your eyes long enough. There's going to come a time when your heart will be closed. There will come a time when it's impossible to call upon the name of the Lord. Seek the Lord while you can. Come to Jesus. That's my call to you this evening. Come to the Lord. Come to Jesus tonight. Come and seek the Lord. Get saved. Get salvation in Christ. Understand and know the love of Jesus in your life. Come and tell the Lord that you love him. Come and pray for forgiveness. Hallelujah.